You've done it. You found the Debt Streak podcast, where our guests from across the financial landscape discuss their exciting careers, their hard-won insights, and how they are helping clients turn debt into assets. And now, here's Carol, to bring you today's episode with our special guest, Wes Nichols from Paramount Property Tax Appeal.
So our guest today is someone who has built a highly successful business that is all about helping people with property tax appeal. I'm extremely excited to introduce you to Wes Nichols from Paramount Property Tax Appeal. Wes, welcome to Debt Street.
Thank you, Carol.
So we're super excited to hear about Paramount Property Tax Appeal. But before we dive in, I'd like to dig a little bit about your path. So what was life like before you start the company?
Well, before I started the company, my background was in commercial lending. That's where I learned how to underwrite, how to assess risk, and how to evaluate properties. So I was a commercial loan broker with a company called Johnson Capital that in the last few years got acquired by Walker Dunlap. And how I got into this business is a very interesting story. So I remember it was back in 2008. It was right around the Lehman Brothers collapse, and we knew it was going to be bad. And I remember saying to a friend of mine who worked for me and a colleague, he was saying, I said to him, I feel sorry for the sheriffs and teachers because I knew that the tax revenue would go down due to lack of property taxes, due to the values going down. He goes, yeah, I was a banker in St. Louis and I knew some firm that I was a banker for, and they lowered property taxes and they had a lot of money in their bank account. And I go, that's a thing. And so I started Googling it and I came across companies that are, Thomson Reuters at the time and Paradigm at the time and a few others, and started seeing some of their success and what they're doing. And I was like, I could do this, you know? And so I started looking into it more, went to some hearings and built out a mini business plan and just started doing it. I was broke at the time, didn't really know what I was doing, and probably in hindsight was better off that I was in such a bad situation. I had nothing to lose really, and started it. And it took about 2 years to start making some money. And, I started hiring people, and then I partnered with Lee and Associates and used, in their platform. Mm-hmm. And then in 2012, I broke away and, kept the Paramount name and, grew it. And now we're overseeing over $30 billion in assessed values. And I have 26 full-time employees. And,
wow.
You know, it's been a journey. We have a lot of the success has been due to great staff, great vision. Some of it's been due to what the counties are doing and what the economics are doing. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the people, the visions, the systems and processes you have in place to mm-hmm. be successful.
Yeah. So I'm guessing there are a lot of chatter around property tax appeal because of the interest rate environment and the current happening in the commercial real estate environment. What are you seeing out there in the market?
What I'm seeing is for office and other properties. So for example, office, we're doing a lot of appeals that were filed in, say, 2021, 2022. Now, we're winning these cases, but we're having to fight really hard to win these cases. And really what it came down to is we didn't start seeing sales or cap rates of office properties supporting large reductions until now. And even now, we're seeing sales of lower valued office properties that are trading. However, there's no cap rates to determine that are being reported. So if anyone's watching this and you have a sale and you sell your property, please report a high accurate cap rate so we can use that on CoStar. But at the end of the day, we're still getting the reductions. Right now, we're starting to work on 2023 valuations. And because interest rates went up, you know, we're seeing that's what's causing the big sway in property values. That's across the board for multifamily, hotels, industrial, retail, et cetera, is at the cap rates. And so for office, here's the situation there, or any commercial property, is that they have loans that are maturing that they have to refinance. And when they look down and go, hey, when I bought this property, I was paying a 4 or 5% interest rate. Now if I refinance, I'm having to pay somewhere in the sixes, it makes it very difficult for me to refinance because of either loss of income if it's office or loss of value. And then the other component of it is I'm having to come in with money or raise equity to bring that in. A lot of people don't have the money to do so. So banks are taking it back. The interesting thing about this cycle is I have a lot of clients, I know of a lot of properties, and I have a few clients that are not fighting the takeovers by the banks. They're literally encouraging them to come in. Here's the keys, here's everything. I have a few clients that are properties that we're under appeal where the lenders have taken over the operation. Now they're not have changed the title yet, but they basically are operating it. And so we're now, you know, speaking to lenders, and that's one of our businesses that we do a lot of is working with lenders on navigating and reducing the property taxes for them when they take it back, because they're going to get stuck with a large tax bill. So in California, you can file a tax bill as a lender with an economic interest before you take it back. And then when you do take it back, we can help navigate that process as well. So we're working with a lot of lenders. But it's the debt side that's really crushing the market. And then on the office side, of course, is the demand, high vacancy, et cetera. Multifamily, the demand's there, but the cap rates have gone up so significantly because of the debt and vice versa.
It sounds like if a sponsor is in default, that's when they would reach out to you, or if the lender take over the property and now they're liable to have to pay the tax, that's when they reach out to you. How about just kind of normal day-to-day operators, sponsors who are actually doing good and, you know, they're not in trouble.
Right.
Where do you add value there?
Everybody should file an appeal. It's not, don't reach out to us when you're in trouble. Reach out to us today. You know, for California, you missed the deadline for 2023, but we can impact 24. And certain counties such as the Bay Area, San Diego, Orange County, we're working up valuations in the next couple months, and we're going to be submitting them to get the 24 values reduced. It's called an informal valuation, to where the goal is to get the tax bill reduced before it comes out in October. So we're actively preparing our workload and gathering the information for our clients. So if you have a property, we can get proactive with it. Now, out of state, for example, Colorado, that window's coming up in May. Texas is coming up in May. Texas, you want to file every single year, or at least have it reviewed. If you're a normal property owner and you're getting good rents, I don't care. You're still entitled to a property tax appeal opportunity. For example, we don't care about what your rents are in place. We care about what fee simple unencumbered is. So like, what would your building rent out today? And then what's the market vacancy today and the market expenses and a market cap rate? We did a study on cap rate. So for every 1% change in cap rate, it's roughly an 18% value change. So
wow.
For example, apartments, if you bought an apartment building in, say, 2021 at a 3.5 cap, you're now selling it for a 5. So essentially your value has gone down, could be 25 to 28% accordingly. So right then and there, just on the cap rate alone, not including any rent change. The other thing that I don't think a lot of people are talking about that we're seeing a lot of that I think your listeners will enjoy is everyone talks about how office is getting impacted. But there's a lot of ancillary products of the office that are being impacted. So when I see profit losses of these large office properties, or even in general office throughout, say, LA County that typically charge for parking, no one's talking about the parking revenue and how that's gone down. So like, for example, I have properties. The parking revenue is not a ratio as far as occupancy goes, because you might have a building where the tenant's still paying the rent, but half their workers are not going in, so they're buying less parking passes. So the parking rents are way down. A lot of parking garages are really suffering right now. The other thing that we're seeing is ground floor retail. Ground floor retail in some urban markets are really struggling. You know, a lot, there's talking about how workers are going in from, they're missing Monday and they're missing Fridays in San Francisco, but like on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, San Francisco's busy. Well, everyone knows the restaurant industry, the margins are so thin. they can't stay in business if they don't have, you know, a 7-day week crowd. So for them to lose out on a breakfast or a lunch crowd on a Monday, Friday, that dramatically impacts their business. So the retail tenants are getting crushed. Also, what no one's talking about, dry cleaners. My dry cleaner, who I used to go to, they closed down. Why? Because no one's going where everyone. I'm doing a lot of Zoom meetings. I don't have to wear suits as much anymore. My dry cleaning bill's gone down. So they're getting impacted as well. So it's not just office. It has a cyclical effect. And that impacts everyone. So that's some of the things I'd like to share with your audience.
Yeah, that's all really interesting. Definitely not something that I could have thought of without talking to you. So going back to kind of your business journey, at what point did you say your business was going to work? You know, what were the big wins since you kind of started the business?
I mean, we've had some great wins along the years. I've had like the big win, I think it was like 2012, 2013 was for a large food processor. I got them like a $48 million reduction.
Nice.
I think really how I judge my wins is how many employees I have hired. You know, that's for me, that's impacting lives. Mm-hmm. So the more people I can hire, the more people I can have on payroll, the more lives I'm impacting. So if I'm doing good and the business is doing good, then we have that. Recently, last year, our biggest win ever, I got a $70 million reduction on a hospital. That one meant the most to me, not just because of the dollar amount, but because who it impacted. You know, going to that hospital in downtown LA, seeing the people that they're impacting, like they are doing good in the community as far as mental health goes. One of the few places in downtown LA that you can go and get, you know, overnight or inpatient healthcare and or psych care. And to see what the county did to them was just, you know, grossly unfair. And just, it's not right. Basically, the story is the taxpayer bought a hospital for $35 million and the assessor put a value of $113 million. And we went to appeal and the assessor offered a reduction down to 70. And we were like, no, we came in at 42 million. The board gave me $44 million. And really it just came down to methodology and how they're valuing it. And really the way we valued it, you know, it took a lot of time to do this study. And the study is how a building depreciates. And so because hospitals are unique, they depreciate at a much faster pace. And so the assessor, because they don't have much time nor the training, they simply, you know, took something that took 30 seconds to figure out the depreciation rate table was, when we spent weeks building out a report with a third party expert to show that the depreciation was double what the assessor was using. And the board agreed and we had a successful outcome on that. We just been, you know, there's a lot of good stuff that we do. I mean, we do a lot of big stuff, but then at the same time, I like to help smaller taxpayers out with their issues. From time to time, I'll come across taxpayers that, you know, might have some unique issues. And so I'll try to help them navigate that process. So that's always fun to do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would say there's not just one thing that stands out. Success is continue growing and, yep. And then just continue getting better every day, from how we process our business, how we're more efficient, how we win, how we communicate with our clients, how we communicate with assessors. We're always looking at how we can become better.
I love the messaging. How can you become better every day, a little bit every day? It's the consistency that, you know, make a difference, not, you know, what winning the lottery tomorrow, whatever. So what are the big goals you have for the business for the next 3 to 10 years?
Goals, you know, I recently hired some business coaches and those have been great to be able to really look at your business in a completely different way, like having key performance indicators or KPIs, delegating, getting assistance, getting virtual assistance, getting people. That way you can actually work on your business, because it's either the business works on you or you work on your business. And so it's being able to get away out of your office. Like we had two or three executive meetings, and just to be able to get out of the office and really look at that, come up with, everyone had two or three strategic things that they were really focused on and doing, and delegating that out and just making sure that that's getting done. And then the other is on key performance indicators, looking at not just from a revenue and expense perspective, but you know, your sales team, your marketing team, and looking at where you can adjust and where you can make changes. And then at the same time, being able to forecast revenue and growth better. So we're looking at that. Like last year we did, you know, close to $6 million in gross revenue. I think in 10 years, we'll probably be close to, you know, 25, 30 million. And then this year alone, I think we have an opportunity to potentially do $9 million. But, you know, that's also beholden on how fast we can get these appeals done. And then at the same time, how fast the counties can issue out refunds. So that's been one of the biggest challenges lately, is some of the counties just can take forever to issue out refunds.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. If they are turning around too quickly, you know, we might feel uncomfortable about that.
Well, it's interesting. It's actually in the benefit for the counties to issue, because they have to pay interest. Like there was
that's right.
So LA County, for example, and I've been trying to remind the executive staff there that there was an audit done, and LA County in the last 2 years paid out over $14 million in interest refunds on appeals that were like, took more longer than normal. And, you know, the board of supervisors are looking down and going, wow, that $14 million, I could have used it for homeless, or I could have used it for education or some other program out there. And instead, and unfortunately, the assessor's office needs to put in a better system. A lot of it is technology. You know, their technology platform, they're still using things that was built in the 80s. Like, I'm no kidding. Like, so a lot of these county assessors are using a COBOL language on some of their computer systems. So there's just, you know, their business processes. Unfortunately, when people work for the assessor, they have experience doing appraisals, but no one has any experience really of running a business or making things operational and more efficient and effective. And, you know, we hope that one day the county assessor wises up and brings in people or consultants that can help with that process and make it more, you know, user-friendly, but more timely, effective, so that, you know, when you win appeal, the clients or the taxpayers can get back their money in a timely manner.
Right. For now, how much is the interest rate?
They pay 3%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would love, like, one of the, it's funny they pay 3%, but if you late on your property taxes, they charge you 10%. You know, we right. thought about lobbying like the state senators or state congressmen in the state to have a law to state, well, if they count to increase the interest rates on the refunds, then maybe then they would get them paid faster. But unfortunately, they don't.
That's interesting. So, you know, one of my friends, he's heavy in oil and gas. So same thing, if you're a driller and you delay in your payment for kind of the mineral right owner, you have to pay interest. You know, the interest is 18%.
That's pretty punitive. You're going to make sure you pay that.
You know, 18% interest, you can't really get it anywhere else. So one last question, if you could recommend a book for my listeners to read, what would it be and why? Do you read?
Yeah, I do. I've been reading this one book, Business Coach came out, 10X is easier than 2X. That's a good one. The EOS systems, that's something that we're looking at applying here. We do some of it currently. There's personally, I like the book, The Way of the Superior Man. But it's, those are three books that I like. Currently I have my daughter's who's entrepreneurial, who's 12. She just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I have her now, reading Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. So it's funny to talk to my 12-year-old about assets and liabilities.
Oh, she's going to be a smart girl when she grows up.
Yeah, she's smart. She's a force to be reckoned with.
Very nice. I guess we should schedule a podcast with her now. maybe like what, 5 years from now or something?
She's very creative and business savvy as well. So see what comes of her.
Yeah, that is so awesome. So if my listeners, they have any questions with Property Tax Appeal or have questions for you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
You can go to our website or just simply email me. It's wes@pptaxappeal.com. And I'll also give out my personal cell number. It's 310-897-5056. Another thing that we've been doing a lot of, or have been over the years, and this is important, is consulting with property owners on potential estate issues or changing of ownerships where, hey, I want to gift my kids the properties, how do we go about doing that? So since Prop 19 was enacted, there have been some things that have made it difficult, but not impossible. So we work with a lot of corporations, a lot of taxpayers on, hey, I'm thinking about bringing in partners, or I'm thinking about bringing in my kids. What are the best ways to go about doing it? And so there are some clever ways that we know that we can advise clients on how to go about doing this or how to minimize the impact of this. And so that's another big practice that we have as well, is helping with change in ownership.
Okay, so why are people afraid to do tax appeal in circumstances?
That's a great question. What we hear from a lot of people, especially people that are not from United States, is they're worried about the government coming back and punitizing them in some way. And, you know, really, California, there's Prop 13, so they can't raise your property taxes above what's assessed for. So that's one reason. The other might be is, hey, my tenants pay for it. Well, you still want to appeal it because you want to keep the tenants happy and you want to keep them in there. And then lastly would be is like, you know, they just don't have time. And really the time is on us. So from a perspective of a client, it's you sign a form and you email it or take a picture and scan it back to me. Then lastly, I might need some rent rolls or P&Ls from you. So you just need to send me that via email. And the rest of it, all you have to do is go to your mailbox and pick up your refund check. So it's from a time perspective, it's really not that much time for a taxpayer do it. But those are the main reasons why I see people get hold off filing a tax bill.
So actually, one last question. Do you cover all of the US or just certain states?
Right now, we have offices in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, California. We'd be doing appeals in Nevada. I've got an office now in Seattle. So we're mostly Texas West. I do have relationships with consultants on the East Coast, and we can do that. So we are expanding into a nationwide company. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our main goals, is to expand outside of the state of California.
Gotcha. Understood. That is so awesome. Well, thank you, Wes, for being on the show. And for those of you who are listening, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a comment wherever you're listening. That helps us keep making the show better and better. And also make sure to send Wes your question about property tax appeal. And we'll see you next time on Debt Street.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening into this episode of the Debt Street podcast, brought to you by Derivative Logic Incorporated. Derivative Logic helps you get straight to smart about interest rates and how best to manage your risks. Please like and share the link to this episode with your friends and coworkers. And subscribe to be notified of upcoming episodes. If you need to stay informed about interest rates, please go to www.derivativelogic.com and subscribe to the weekly Straight to Smart newsletter. Each edition looks at news and events of the past week, looks forward to important data soon being released, and briskly summarizes what it all means for you and your business. We look forward to welcoming you to the next episode of the Debt Street Podcast.